our vision is that no one should face cancer alone, and I know personally, as a son, that the Cancer Society lives and breathes that every day.
Hello everyone, I'm Simon Beattie, and welcome to our August NZX Opening Bell podcast. Today we're recording a very special podcast for Daffodil Day 2023, which will shine a light on an incredible charitable organisation, the Cancer Society. The Cancer Society works tirelessly every day to be a beacon of light for those and their families going through the tough time of cancer. It's my privilege to welcome Andrew Young, CEO of the Cancer Society Auckland and Northland. Welcome, Andrew. It's great to have you in here again. How are you?
Yeah, kia ora, Simon. G'day. I'm really well, and I'm jolly excited about Daffodil Day. It's our time of year. It's almost like Christmas for us at the Cancer Society.
So tell us, what have you got? So it's Christmas, and everyone likes new presents. So what have you got this year for the public of New Zealand?
Well, for us, it's our single day of the year to raise money and raise awareness. And given we're an organisation that relies entirely on the goodwill of the public, it's a huge day for us. So we couldn't run our plethora of free cancer services without the fundraising that happens on Daffodil Day. So, yeah, it's massive for us. That's why it's our version of Christmas, and planning's been going on for months and months to get this event organised, which is really exciting. Yeah.
So if I'm a member of the public, how can I best make a contribution to the Cancer Society?
Well, we try and make it really easy as possible. So we've got over 8,000 volunteers heading out across Daffodil Day on Friday the 25th, and there's some collectors on Saturday the 26th as well. So look out for our volunteers. Many of our volunteers are amazing. They are many are past cancer survivors, and this is their way of giving back. So they want to mobilise and support us on Daffodil Day. So if you look out for them, try and give them a friendly smile, and it'd be great if you could make a donation into their buckets or into their FPOS machines. We love the plastic, and we try and make it really easy for people to give. And if you don't see a collector, you can go online to daffodilday.org.nz. So easy peasy.
So tell us a little bit about Daffodil Day, its origins, and why August and why daffodils?
Yeah, we've timed this to kind of herald spring, and the daffodil itself, as everyone will know, is bright yellow, and that's a colour and a symbol of great hope, and that's sort of what we're trying to embody in Daffodil Day. And I have to say, it's not a concept that was developed here in New Zealand. Daffodil Days happen around the world to support cancer charities, and it's a concept we borrowed 33 years ago, when our Cancer Society board was approached with an overseas concept. And we thought, yeah, let's give that a go here in New Zealand. And it's really caught on. And 33 years on, it's going strong.
Yeah, it is indeed. Andrew, if you could let us know, why did you get involved in the Cancer Society? A little bit about your background and what motivates you.
Yeah, well, I came on as chief executive of the Auckland Northland Division just over 4 years ago, and I was tapped on the shoulder. I guess I've got a background and reputation for sort of change management of innovation, evolution, and mobilising, hopefully, really high-performing teams. And so I was tapped on the shoulder, and they didn't reveal who the organisation was at first. And I said, look, I'm already busy in a CE role. And when they said it's for the Cancer Society and they really want to talk to you, my heart literally skipped a beat, and I just thought there's no other role I would ever consider, but it just seemed perfect for me for a very personal reason. My mum died of cancer in 2007, and at the time we knew the Cancer Society was a great organisation. We didn't quite know all the services that it offered, and we hadn't been directly touched by cancer in our family prior to that. When mum got diagnosed in February of 2007. She had a very aggressive cancer, and she died within 3 months. But we will never, as a family, forget how the Cancer Society enveloped my mum, just offered so much care and compassion. And mum lived in Wellington, and all of us were scattered around the world in really big jobs. But we would fly home and spend a week with mum each, and she told us that we didn't need to come as intensively anymore because there was this group from the Cancer Society that were looking after her. Volunteer drivers were taking her into hospital to get her lungs drained because she couldn't breathe and couldn't drive at that point very easily. And the community nurses would come and reassure her, and right through to her hospice care, they were there for us as a family, not just for Mum, but for all of us as well. And that gave our family just so much comfort to know that Mum was really being looked after and not isolated like many people are. And, you know, our vision is that no one should face cancer alone. And I know personally, as a son, that the Cancer Society lives and breathes that every day. It was there to support us every step of the way, even though Mum's outcome wasn't great. I will never forget how amazing that was for us. And I know that many people feel that way about the Cancer Society. So I couldn't be prouder of being the CEO of our division.
So you must be a very purposeful person, and the people that you work alongside must be very purposeful as well.
Look, my personal view of my leadership style is I'm here to serve. I have a very strong sense of servitude, and I believe every day when I spring out of bed, I firstly thank my lucky stars that I work for an organisation like the Cancer Society. And I do see my job as I'm there to serve every member of my staff and every volunteer that's good enough to give their time to the Cancer Society. If they don't have the tools to thrive and to help patients and whānau with cancer, if they don't do a great job, I'm ultimately responsible for that. So it's my job to make sure that our staff are mobilised, they can get out there, they have the tools that they need, and that we can actually, yeah, help people every single day. So I just feel that my role is, it's a complete privilege and honour.
So what are some of the key objectives and messages for the Daffodil Day this year? What's the focus?
Look, our huge focus is around needing to raise money first and foremost so we can deliver our array of free services. And because we offer quite a lot, people may not be aware, and we want people to really reach out and use our services. We are here to help. So services range from, as I mentioned before, our community nurses that go and visit cancer patients in their home. And they're really important because when a patient generally gets a cancer diagnosis, their brain goes into complete shutdown after you've heard those words, you know, "I'm sorry, you've got cancer." So what we hear time and time again through our nurses is that patients don't take in anything that the oncologist has told them or the cancer nurse after the diagnosis. They go into a complete blur. And so the ability for our nurses to have the privilege of going into someone's home to sort of say, "Are you okay? What can I help you with? Do you understand everything?" Often the answer is, "No, I don't understand anything. I'm really confused. I'm really scared." There could be financial instability because people have to give up work for some time, if not quite long periods of time. There's often strain on relationships. How do you break it to the kids? How do you tell your wider family? How do you tell your friends? All of these questions pop up for people, and they're very real. And so our nurses are there to, A, provide comfort, and equally as importantly, to provide a lot of information. And there could also be, Simon, confusion over medication. When will my chemo start? What are the side effects?
Absolutely.
Why am I taking this drug and this drug and this drug? And what about the existing drugs I'm on? So our nurses are there to provide that clinical information that, yeah, is often missed in that hospital appointment. Then we have a team of psychologists that counsel people. People need support counselling all throughout their cancer journey often. And then there are people that need counselling at different times. It may be that you sail through the diagnosis and your treatment, but after you reach remission, you might think, okay, am I clear? Is it ever going to come back and get me? And they're haunted with the fact that cancer may come back. So our service is here to make sure that people survive and thrive beyond cancer, which is really important as well. Then we have thousands of volunteer drivers who, like my mum enjoyed, drive people to hospital appointments every day. And that's really important. You only need to look at the gridlock traffic outside any major hospital to know the strain on people and the burden of having to find a park. So our volunteer drivers take away all of that anxiety, so people can get to their treatments on time.
And it's those things that make a big difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other big fear that people have is, you know, those of us that live near a major hospital in a major city, that's great, but many people don't. And so many of our patients have to travel the length of the country to get to life-saving treatment. And so we provide lodges around the country that provide free accommodation for people going through cancer. So, you know, that's a snapshot of some of our free patient-facing services. And it's because it's all free of charge, we are really reliant on that fundraising. So I just want people to take that on board and to hopefully see value in what we provide to people in real need and to dig deep.
So what you've just outlined is essentially the theme for the year, which is give today so no one faces cancer alone. Yep. It is a collective effort, isn't it?
Yeah. Simon, I had a really long-winded way of answering that, but yeah, you've nailed it on the head. So people don't face cancer alone, those are the services we provide, and it truly is a collective effort. We couldn't do this without my staff, 8,000-plus volunteers, and the general public, so it is truly a national effort here.
So how many Kiwis are affected by cancer every year?
So every day, every single day, 73 people are told on average that they have cancer. So that's well over 25,000 people per year. If you do the simple maths, another way of expressing it is that one in three Kiwis at the moment will be told in their lifetime that they have cancer. And the scary thing is, with all of our global forecasting, and this is a very global problem, not just a national problem, is that cancer rates are increasing rapidly. So within the next 20 years, cancer rates are expected to almost double. So it'll be close to one in two people diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime within 20 years.
To me, that's frightening. It's a frightening statistic.
The good flip side to that is frightening, but in the last 20 years, the majority of people diagnosed with cancer survive. And that's a great thing, and we should celebrate that. So there's much better screening now, much better pharmaceuticals, much better treatment. This is all great, but as I said before, the unknowns of cancer and the fear of it reoccurring for those who have had cancer lingers, and that's we have to really focus on survivorship and making sure that we provide tools for people to survive and thrive after cancer. So look, it may be becoming more of a reality for us, but we want to make sure that we are ready to face that. And Cancer Society is also the biggest private funder of cancer research in New Zealand, so we are always looking for the cure. I'm an optimist, so I'm always living in hope, and we put a significant resource through our donations into cancer research, not only drug development, but how do we stop cancers forming in the first place. So we put a lot of effort also into cancer prevention programs, things like smoke-free Aotearoa. If we stopped tobacco inhalation in this country, you know, immediately that would go a long way to bringing down cancer rates.
I think prevention is vital. Just on a personal level, I mean, it's a privilege for me to chat to you today. I've been affected. I've lost a sister and two brothers to cancer, one earlier this year, and it's just something that families every day have to face. That's the reality for some. It's tough. But what advice do you have to those who are directly affected, those who have the cancer themselves and their broader families?
Yeah. Look, it's really important that people acknowledge what they're going through. And, you know, as Kiwis, we're quite good at trying to sweep things under the rug and be stoic and really staunch. Hopefully through the services we provide and through great services through like-minded charities like the Mental Health Foundation, there are a lot of resources out there. And I'd say to people, look inside at what you need. And if you need to take time out, you know, a lot of our patients that get cancer are strong and stoic and get through, but their supporters really suffer along the way. So look at not just you're diagnosed with cancer or someone close to you, look at the wider needs of not just the patient but the entire whānau. as well. That's really, really important. And reach out and get support, you know, through the Cancer Society website. There is a lot of information there around getting support. Be honest about it, be truthful and own it. That's the best way of going about it. It's similar to a cancer diagnosis. The earlier it's detected, the more you can do about it. And that's the same with our mental health as well. So that's really, really important. And I'm really sorry about what your family's gone through. The sad truth is that in the stories that I hear on a daily basis and within my own family, increasingly, cancer is very real, and it's something that most of us will probably have to confront at some point in our lives.
And confronting it and dealing with that is a key part of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You also mentioned honesty before, and I just want to touch on that. So what I've been highly impressed with this year is your Daffodil Day 2023 ambassador, Di Henwood, for his honesty and bravery in sharing his story and reaching out to others with regards to prevention and treatment. Can you tell us a little bit about Di?
Look, Di's been amazing, and when he came to our organisation, to the Cancer Society, and sought services, we had to keep that obviously very, very confidential, and it wasn't until he did that amazing interview on national TV with Jackie Brown that he told the entire country that he had stage 4 bowel cancer. And in that interview, he thanked the Cancer Society and really recognised the psychological counselling that he and his wife have received, which enabled them to talk to their young children about his diagnosis and get him through that really tough hurdle. So that was Di being really honest about his diagnosis and his prognosis and reaching out and getting help. And I think that's such an important message to come from a New Zealand male. This is exactly the sort of behaviour we want replicated around the country. And Di has been incredibly generous, as you say, Simon, sharing a story. He is one of our favourite TV comedians. He's on our airwaves many nights of the week, and he talks so much now about his cancer. You know, and he said so many things. We get so much feedback from people saying there are so many different components of what Di has talked about that resonate with people. And he says, you know, being optimistic may not save him from cancer, but being pessimistic will certainly kill him. And that attitude, you know, having a great attitude, getting the right support, calling out for support is so vital. And then having the love of his partner and family and wider community is really, really important as well. So, yeah, he's an incredible man. And tonight he's doing a live comedy show in Auckland, and that's incredible as well. So he's using all channels that he can to, funnily enough, blend comedy and cancer. And he's if anyone can do it, Di Henwood can do it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what drives Di, because it is truly incredible to be able to publicly share such a personal battle.
I think Di recognises the fact that he is very well known in New Zealand, and from that, he's told me that he feels that he does have a responsibility to raise awareness, and he does genuinely feel so grateful for the support that the Cancer Society has provided. So for him, there is no other way than to do what he's doing and raise awareness and help us with our fundraising.
So as a country, as individuals, what do we, can we do with regards to mobilising to fight this thing called cancer?
Yeah. Well, I'd say, because Daffodil Day is looming, I'd say give money if you can. That would be great. There's no donation that's too big or too small. The other important thing is the Cancer Society is a powerful and important lobby group. So we are constantly, it doesn't matter what government's in power, we will be pushing hard for the rights of patients and cancer patients. We are lagging so far behind in cancer drugs that are available to the New Zealand public compared to other comparable OECD countries. Our near neighbours in Australia get so many more drugs and so much faster access to cancer treatment than we do here in New Zealand. So we're a real strong group that would like to challenge any government to do better and to do better for our people with cancer. You know, it's the number one killer in New Zealand. We have to step up and do more. It can't be reliant on just hardworking charities like ours. We actually need massive government input to solve this problem that we should collectively own. So I'd encourage people to get online, to join us in the numerous surveys that we have, and if you see us lobbying for things like smoke-free Aotearoa, to, you know, limit vaping. We're really worried about teenage vaping at the moment. Access to cancer drugs, better services for patients, better government support for patients. Support us, show us your support, and help us advocate. And one thing that any government will do is listen to its people, especially around election time. So, you know, if you in your community have concerns about healthcare and cancer treatment, be vocal about that. Stand up alongside us and be really vocal.
On a personal level, you must, in your role, hear stories every day from people and their families who've gone through cancer, both survivors and others. And I'm just keen to know how you manage that on a day-to-day basis in light of what you've been through with your mother, and then how you take on board and process other people's pain.
Yeah, it's an issue that I'm not alone in having. I hear a lot about cancer every day, as do all of my staff, especially my, the nursing teams, the psychologists and so forth. It's really important for us that we are able to download and make sure that we are able to park a lot of the negative things that we hear. And there is professional supervision that you can get where you share, certainly not names, but cases that you've heard of, and you share that with your support group. And that's really important. It's another way of reaching out and saying, yep, I'm vulnerable, I'm a human being, and I need some support here. There's only so much that the human brain can take on, and you've got to have a very professional way of processing that. But, you know, this is a problem that many people out in the community might have that don't have access to professional supervision. So it's really important that, as I mentioned before, you reach out through your own support networks, your family, your friends, or professional counselling to unload and unpack some of the burdens that we all carry. And I was just sort of thinking through the other day, one of the top oncologists that I work with at the hospital, he's just been diagnosed with late stage cancer. And I kind of thought, that's one of life's terrible ironies, right? To be a top cancer specialist and get cancer yourself. Hmm. I was just getting, you know, my hair cut a couple of weeks ago. My trusted local barber told me, he knows where I work, that he's got a very sinister looking lump that he's detected, gone to his GP, and is now going under urgent scanning and potential treatment. My neighbour is just finishing bowel cancer treatment. It's all around us, and it seems to be all around me. But rather than kind of weeping into my Weet-Bix every morning, it actually emboldens me to work harder. I literally spring out of bed because I can't wait to get to work to further the cancer cause, to fight cancer and to smack it in the face. Because like you, Simon, you know, I've lost people near and dear to me, and I'm not going to let up on this. I'm going to keep fighting.
Good on you, Andrew. That's a great attitude. And before we wrap up, it's been a pleasure talking to you, but before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to add or any other messages you want to say to those that are listening with regards to how they can not only support Daffodil Day, but help the Cancer Society all the other 364 days of the year?
I think the best way I can kind of summarise how much we need people's support is through the story of a remarkable young woman I've met really recently, and it's been a privilege chatting to her. She rang up just to say thank you to the Cancer Society for all of her help, and to say before Daffodil Day, thank you in advance to all the people that can support us with a donation. So Jess is in her late 20s, and 2 years ago, in the middle of the COVID lockdown, she had severe abdominal pain, and she just wondered if she was having a reaction to something she ate or whether she was intolerant to some food, but it ended up to be cancer of her colon. She was rushed into hospital, had hours and hours of intense pain, and then had 4 blood transfusions to keep her alive. Jess was very, very isolated in that she lost her mother in a terrible accident when Jess was 15 and Dad had moved away to Australia. So she was on her own, and she said during her recovery, she was thrilled. Everything medically happened really well. Her surgery went really well and they got rid of the cancer and she's now deemed to be in remission, which is great. But she said she wouldn't have been able to have continued mentally without the support of the Cancer Society. She said she had, you know, no parents to check in on her. She doesn't have siblings. She felt really, really isolated, and she said the Cancer Society nurse would ring her on a regular basis and check in, make sure she was okay. And she said that was really her lifeline that kept her going through this, and she can't thank us enough. So, you know, she's just one example, but one that's really dear to my heart, of how the donations are spent, the impact that it has on everyday Kiwis. She's got a new job a few months ago, and this is what we want to see: people surviving cancer and being really productive and living their life to the full and making a great contribution to the New Zealand society. So, you know, that's what we're all about, and that's what hopefully if you make a donation to us, that's what you're supporting as well.
And on that positive note about Jess and her story, that's Andrew Young, who is the CEO of the Cancer Society of Auckland and Northland. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks very much.
The information provided in this podcast is a guide and is intended for general information purposes only. The information is not investment advice. The information should not be relied upon as a substitute for detailed advice from a professional advisor. The podcast may contain opinions or forward-looking statements, and actual results may vary from what is expressed in this podcast. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the presenter or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of NZX. NZX Limited is not liable for any loss suffered through relying on the information in this podcast. NZX makes no warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the information in this podcast. All intellectual property rights in the content of this podcast are owned or used under license by NZX, and NZX's written consent is required to use, redistribute, or reproduce the content, or use it to create other works.